you need. In other words, the feeling, especially selling Prabhupada's books, is we have the advantage over anyone selling anything else, because we have one thing that the devotee should be able to become convinced that everyone needs, namely Krishna. That's the one thing, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, there's nothing to be had in all the three worlds except for the holy name of Krishna. So if we're convinced that actually what everyone needs is Krishna, then we have the perfect gift for everyone, namely Srila Prabhupada's book, because that's all that's in the book, is Krishna. So with that attitude, going out there trying to give everyone the book, or Srila Prabhupada's books, with such an attitude, people will actually become very receptive. We actually feel that we're trying to give them something very valuable. Because what is the real thing that everyone's really looking for is that love. All right. No one is really looking for someone out there who actually wants to cut their throat. Oh, here. Yeah. You mean you're handing me a time bomb? Just what I always wanted. When will it go off? No, people want to be given something. They want to feel that someone's giving me something because they're actually concerned about me. They actually want to help me. And therefore, they're giving me something that they feel I actually need. And just that feeling itself means that people automatically become attracted to what you're talking about, what you have to give to them. And, of course, we should also, secondarily, we should have our concern. In other words, our real concern is to see that people give these books because this will actually make them happy. So we also have to become convinced ourselves that what's in the books will actually make people happy. That means we not only have to theoretically understand it, but we actually have to realize it. Experience it. That, for instance, by chanting Hare Krishna, I have actually become happy. So we're thinking, what is, you know, is chanting this Hare Krishna mantra hasn't helped anyone in this movement. Hey, keep a book with you, you know, maybe you'll be the first one. Practice it at home when you understand what it's all about, come back and tell us, because we haven't figured it out ourselves. So, we could also, Prabhupada, in one letter, he emphasized this point, explaining that our routine work during the morning, especially our sadhana of chanting 16 rounds a day, following the principles, attending classes, and arti and guru puja, this is all should be seen as part of our work during the day. In other words, it should be seen as helping us in our service during the day. Not that we see that during the morning I'm a monk, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and then during the day I'm something else. And I become, you know, super salesman. And with all my expert techniques and my charm and my charisma, then I am attracting so many fallen souls to take shelter in me. And as soon as we think like that, that there's a difference, I don't really have to chant my rounds nicely, I don't really have to do anything because I have what it takes. I have the technique down. I've had to sell a book. As soon as we think like that, then at once we'll neglect our sadhana, thinking that our service itself is something apart from our sadhana. But no, they should be seen as interrelated, that because I'm actually very carefully following the sadhana, therefore I'm actually in Krishna consciousness during the day. And because I'm in Krishna consciousness, therefore, my preaching is enlivening me more about this philosophy. I'm not only preaching to the person I'm talking to, but I'm also hearing it myself. And by this preaching, I'm actually becoming enlivened to follow the program in the morning, or hopefully in the evening, sometimes this little program. Or as Prabhupada used to say, ISKCON sandwich. Just like sometimes people have a sandwich. They have two pieces of bread, and in the middle you have something. Peanut butter and jelly. So it's the ISKCON sandwich. In the morning and evening we have our sadhana, and in the middle we have our service. So we should become convinced that what's in these books is actually valuable for everyone. That if people hear about the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, if people understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how they themselves in their practical everyday life can become Krishna conscious, that when we're experiencing that for ourselves, then we'll become convinced that people should have these books. And then we should also meditate a little bit, not that we think, oh, I'm going to approach this person And as soon as I hand him a book, he's going to look at it and say, is this from a cult? What kind of cult are you guys from anyhow? What is this weird cover on it? As soon as we start thinking like that, we look at the people and say, wow, that guy looks mean. Or that person looks like he's, you know, so many things. As soon as we start speculating on what people's reactions are going to be, then we feel discouraged. And what actually sells the book more than anything else is not what we say, but it's our whole mood. So if we start speculating, immediately we start defeating ourselves and making it impossible. As soon as we start thinking that this person won't take the book, then he won't take the book generally. But as soon as we start seeing people that these are all Krishna servants, of course we should try to experience different people, have different realizations on different expectations who they think will take the book. For instance, if there's a whole group of people walking down, if we're staying in the street, then it's natural to pick out one or two people as more likely candidates for taking a book. But, and then we should think a little bit about, we should be positive that this person will take a book, probably going to take a book. And then, of course, when we're selling another person the book, people may have so many different techniques of how to approach people to get them to stop. But if we're in a positive mood, we're actually feeling that this book is beneficial for this person, if we're actually feeling that, actually I'm convinced that this book has helped me, right, and that this person is a very likely candidate to take a book, then it's very likely such persons will stop. And then when they stop, of course, we may give them the book in so many different ways. But the important thing is to be conscious of what they're doing. Not that now they have the book, and I just go along with my routine way of distributing the book. And if they don't somehow or another fit into my mantra, then they're disqualified from going back to Godhead. We should be a little conscious of people's reactions. As a matter of fact, that's what Prabhupada first used to say, first become conscious, and then become Krishna conscious. So we should be aware of how the person touched the book, where he's looking at, where his attention is, and we can always ask him some questions. And the whole thing is to become aware of what the personal needs of this person are, and to relate to the person accordingly. And at the same time, be firmly convinced that what actually he needs is this book. If we're so convinced, and we're aware of the person, and we relate the book exactly to what the person needs, no more, no less, then it's very likely the person will become a little interested in the book. And the whole thing depends upon that, more or less our feeling of being very positive. So of course most people, as we've said before, it's not that we don't want to tell people philosophy or we have something to hide, but most people can understand very simple philosophy. Like, where are you from? Well, I'm from New York. Oh, New York! Well, it's fantastic, you know. I met a lot of nice people from New York. Because that's part of our philosophy. Everyone from New York is a spiritual soul and they're openly nice. But to try to explain to people more too much is probably unnecessary. In other words, we want to be in a very positive mood. They go, I don't read. Well, that's fantastic. These books aren't reading it. You know, we're not handing these out for people to read them. We want to get donations for them. That's what we're out here for. Give a donation. It's all right. No problem at all, you know. You don't have to read the book. Just give a donation. We're out here collecting it. And of course, we don't want it. We want people to read the book. But the idea is not to go against people's sentiments. To more or less be able to see, of course, if they're actually serious, if they're not just trying to play around with it, but actually try to bring people's spirits up, their consciousness up, by being very positive and seeing the book in a very positive way. It's like if people are in a very positive mood about something, then automatically they'll be interested in buying it. It doesn't matter what it is. Oh, you're from New York? Are you from around here? Yes. You know, a lot of nice people around here, right? Yes. You got a nice family, right? Yes. Give a donation. Sure, why not? In other words, people have one aim in life, that is to expand their loving propensity. Everyone's trying to expand their loving propensity, although in Kali Yuga it's very difficult. Because something they love at one moment becomes an object of hate the next, but it's still their responsibility and their burden. So although they don't love the object anymore, it becomes a very heavy responsibility for them to bear. Although they're trying to expand their loving propensity, you know, generally they expand it to their football team, or they expand it to the so many different objects in this material world. But actually we know that the only object they can expand their loving propensity to that will include all the other objects of love that they're trying to develop a relationship with is Krishna. Because if one loves Krishna, then automatically all his other relationships become positive also. If one loves Krishna to the highest extent, that is. So by giving people Krishna, then by adding Krishna to whatever we're doing, we're actually making their lives positive and happy. So whatever they say, automatically the devotee, he's in Krishna consciousness. If we see it from a positive point of view, we can say, that's fantastic. That's exactly what this is all about. Just keep it within, just, you know, people give a little donation. And then the last thing I'd like to just emphasize is that it shouldn't end there, that if we actually cultivate people that we give books to, then they'll actually recommend the books to others. That somehow or another, if we come to the point of realizing that happy customers tell others about what a nice experience is. That means eventually we have to come to the point of following up on our sales. Of contact, if we meet friendly people, actually people who are interested in what we're doing, then follow up on that by taking their name, their address, and at the same time contacting them and finding out if they know other people who would like to take our books also. So I'm just going to make it real short and ask if there are any questions about that. Yes, how are
we doing? You said that, first of all, we have to be convinced and we shouldn't think, well, no one else has the benefits, so maybe we'll be the first. So what if we are feeling that we're not convinced? What drastic action can we take?
Start turning our rounds better. Go to sleep earlier. Get up earlier. Just practical things. Apparently we're not convinced because we're so bewildered by our not following very strictly the program. Therefore we're more or less riding in the modes of nature, hoping that the good fairy will come along and touch us with her magic wand and wake us up. But it just means practical activities. Because the more practically we're hearing and chanting about Krishna, then it's natural that one becomes convinced when he experiences what it's like to associate with Krishna. So Krishna, his name, his form, his quality, his pastimes are not different. What is different is our consciousness when we're not following very strictly the process. Because our senses are in control, because we're not really paying very much attention to what's going on when we're hearing and chanting. Therefore, it's very difficult to become convinced because our mind's already speculating about so many hundreds of other things. But if we just shunaya shunaya paramet buddhya dhriti gihitaya, study the mind by means of the determination of the intelligence, that we have our determination. So if we study our mind by such determination and fix it on Krishna, then gradually we'll become convinced. But even if we're not convinced, somehow or another, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we go out and distribute books and act as if we're convinced, even act as if we're convinced, as Sai Prabhupada used to say, that, of course, if you don't feel like dancing, then dance anyhow. But even if we're not so convinced when we're on book distribution, if we just act like we're convinced, because the karmis are so unconvinced about whatever they're doing, they're so insecure, that as soon as they meet someone who's more convinced about something than they are, the majority of them, they'll immediately become convinced also. But the worst thing to do is when you're not convinced, is to try and talk too much. Because that then immediately people pick up that you're not convinced, and then they're not convinced either. So if we just act as if we're convinced and say things to the point, without attachment, then we'll also become convinced. Of course, it's better to chant nicely, to hear nicely, but in any case, chanting and hearing is also part of the distributing books. And just by seeing the results, of being, of how nice these books are and acting in a very positive way, then we'll also become convinced. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. What about devotees who want to give up book distribution because
facilities
aren't good enough? Not
facilities?
Good enough.
Everything is difficult. Yeah, you can stay back to the temple. It's nice and easy back in the temple. Plenty of places to fall asleep. You know, you can stand around. You can wander from room to room and speculate and talk for chalpa. Nice facilities here to do that. Facilities? This material world is full of problems. That's the facility of this material world, to convince us that there is no good place. But as far as, for instance, here at this temple, they may not have enough vehicles. Is that, and therefore, because there's no vehicle?
That may be one of many.
Excuse me?
That may be one of many.
There's so many obstacles, yeah. So that we have to see if we're actually, if we actually get a taste for book distribution and see it as a service. Somehow or another, sometimes book distribution has a reputation or a movement as something very, very austere that only the Marines and a few devotees can do. You know, it's like a real sacrifice. Wow, sometimes because I'm a little older, people go, wow, you went on book distribution. Really? I don't believe it. It's like, you know, yeah, and I gave 3 quarts of blood to the, you know, Red Cross, too. <on the way. laughs> It's like we create this atmosphere as if it's like it's an endangered species, the book distributor. You know, he's sacrificing everything, you know. Because out there, there are only dogs and cats and a few, you know, dogs, hogs, and camels are out there. And anyone who goes out into the jungle, he's like really risking his life. But actually, it's a whole completely misconception. Because it's, the real fact is that each one of us, we're about to die. And if we don't die, you know, today, we're going to die at least in the next 50 years. It goes very quickly. So the fact is, none of us have very much time left. So either we make a sincere effort to go back to Godhead, or we're going to have to come back here again anyhow. So there's no loss. And the most absorbing of all the different types of services is book distribution. Which means that although there's two things, we may not be very confident, and sometimes we may not be very motivated. So these are two major factors in doing anything. One's competence to do it, his expertise, and his motivation. So the question is, sometimes I may be a little confident, I may have learned some techniques, but I may not be very motivated. On the other hand, if I hear that book distribution is so blissful, and I actually experience it for myself, it's like it's one opportunity where, like, hour after hour during the day, you have to be completely positive. No matter what happens, you're, like, positive. Here, take one of these. No, I don't want it. Oh, great. Excuse me, surgeon. You know, maybe. So you're, throughout the whole day, you're just completely positive, and you're trying to give people something in relationship to Krishna. You're actually trying to give people Krishna. So what is a better way of becoming Krishna conscious than that? Constantly, in a very positive Krishna conscious way, meditating on giving others and oneself Krishna. And it's very healthy too. You're out there, you're running around, good exercise. It's recommended by the Ministry of Health. And I'm and besides that, you make money, everyone's happy. You know, and you're defeated. So many things, it's all completely positive. And even if some demon, if some rare demon comes up and says, hey man, I don't like what you're doing. You go, great. See, a lot of demons, so you're not the only one. That's because we're finally doing something about you guys out here. We're getting rid of the demons. So everything is completely positive. And if you get too tired, then go, you know, take some rest. But the fact is, that is the most positive experience, practically speaking, a devotee, when he becomes a little knowledgeable how to distribute books and he's properly motivated, it becomes one of the most positive experiences in his Krishna consciousness. So if you say, well, there's so many factors that are preventing me from becoming blissful and happy, becoming completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so I've decided to give up Krishna consciousness and just dwell on all the factors that are impeding me. Well, we could do that. That's Maya's trick, though. You know, blame everything. I'm miserable now. I don't want to go out because I'm so miserable. Because there's no car. The prasadam wasn't right today. I'm not happy. You know, the temple president's not my friend. So I'm going to go to hell just to spite them all. And I'm going to sit here in misery and lament. But on the other hand, if we see that actually it's all Krishna's energy, that somehow or another I should get out there as quickly as possible and get off the mental platform and sell the books. And if there's some other arrangements that have to be made, with some intelligence, I should try and take care of the impediments. That I should try to see how to make the facilities better, reduce the impediments from my going out and distributing books. But if there are some impediments, then still I should not dwell on them. I should actually see them as somehow or another. That's the reality of the situation. And rather than dwell on them, I should dwell on what the opportunity is to become Krishna conscious by doing some book distribution. That may vary with different devotees. But still, it's an opportunity. Each one of these living entities, including ourselves, we're all Krishna servants, and everyone has some unique relationship to Krishna. And there are billions of living entities on this planet, human beings, who have no idea who they are or what their purpose in life is, and their only hope is to get one of these books. So because, you know, they only serve Kichi today, therefore maybe 10 or 15 or 100 people are all going to go to hell because of that. It's rather a heavy price for Kichi. We shouldn't get hung up on just all these externals. We should see that this is actually internal meditation. This meditation on trying to help people become Krishna conscious. And if I'm actually, Prabhupada wrote to me, he said that the more you work seriously to help bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. So to give some illustration of that, just from my own tiny experience, when I was doing book distribution in 1973 in Dallas, somehow or another all the brahmacharis blooped and I was the only one left. So I was the only one left, and you know, Dallas wasn't my favorite spot to work, downtown Dallas, where we go to, because I had so many conceptions. But I said, anyhow, I'm going to go out there. I was going out there regularly. So one day it got particularly heavy. I was just like completely on the mental platform. But I forced myself to go downtown Dallas. I said, oh, it's going to be another day and these people are no good. But I got down there with Vaishnava guidance, and suddenly everyone looked like they came from Vaikuntha. They're all shining and smiling. And I said, where am I? I couldn't believe what was happening. And I just walked up to them, here's the book. And he says, wow, thanks a lot. And they gave me, immediately took out money and were giving it to me. So in around an hour or something, I distributed all my books. I had nothing left. And then I was going back to the temple, and suddenly everyone started to look again like Texans. They didn't look like they were from Vaikuntha. But I realized, if we are seeing, according to how we see, that's how people are reciprocating. Of course, we can't be artificial. But still, to a certain extent, that's what it means to surrender. To rely upon the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, to see it's worked in our lives, although I may not be seeing now the philosophy of Krishna consciousness because I'm crazy. I remember one time Prabhupada was talking to some gentleman, and one hippie was there asking him questions. And Prabhupada said, he said, you can't understand this philosophy because you're crazy. So sometimes I may not be seeing the philosophy because we may not be seeing it because we're crazy. But still, because if we try to remember our past experience and we have faith and we try and act according to the philosophy, then Krishna will reciprocate. So this movement is only impeded because of our mental conceptions, mostly. Because most of the obstacles are all mental. Only when everything is perfect, because I'm such an empowered personality, I have such a big reputation, I have so many other better things to do in my life than to preach Krishna consciousness, I'm such an important person in the temple, you know, therefore how dare they not arrange all the facilities for me, you know, that I'm only going to preach when they, you know, when the Rolls Royce pulls up with the chauffeur, the red carpet rolls out, you know, the lunch is, you know, gourmet style prasadam. Flown in from India, choices cooks. And, you know, that everything is provided, then I'll go out and preach. Because that's, you know, Shakti Vesha advertising. Very divine. So as soon as, the more we think like that, the more difficult it is. You know, how dare they? Do they know who I am? How much austerity I got to go through, you know, saving these rotten souls out there. So the more we speculate like that, you know, these people are rotten, fallen, you know, I got to go through so much austerity, slamming the book down their mouth, picking their pockets to get a few pennies from them, and they're making it even more difficult. So if we have this conception that that's what book distribution is, it's like a, it's like pulling teeth out of people, you know, giving them some Indian book. You know, running around all day lying to people, you know, trying to convince them that they actually need this, but everyone knows they can't read it. So instead of, you know, we put it on the bookshelf and they're like, that guy, if I ever see him. So if that's our conception, then of course we'll think that, oh, this, you know, I have to have all the facilities because I'm not getting anything else. But if we actually learn how to do book distribution properly, and we actually experience a relationship with a person, which is on a spiritual platform, then that itself is sufficient that all these other paraphernalia are not so important. Although they may be useful, we don't want to not use them if we have them. But that's up to Krishna to arrange it. And of course, we should use our good intelligence to make the best possible arrangements we can. But due to that, we're limited. That's secondary to the fact that this is an opportunity to learn how to relate to others in terms of Krishna consciousness. And the principles that one can learn by realization on Sankirtan, we should also learn how to apply them to our relationships with the devotees. Not that on Sankirtan, I'm completely detached, friend to everyone, well-wish of everyone. I come back to the temple and think, oh, this guy's a bomb. This devotee, you know, he's going to bloop soon. He's offending a pure devotee, me, and power Sankirtan devotee. He looked at me wrong. They didn't give me any prasadam today. You know, these devotees in the temple, they're all fallen. Only the people outside there can appreciate me. No, we should actually learn from our experience with innocent people on Sankirtan. We should learn how to actually act in a positive mood towards the other, and that should also be applied to the devotees. Well, we should see that some of the principles we learn in our relationships with the devotees, our loving relationships with them, we should also implement in our Sankirtan, in our consciousness on Sankirtan. And similarly, the enthusiasm we get in relating to others on Sankirtan in terms of Krishna consciousness should also be applied in our relationships with the devotees. It's not that someone goes, I'm sorry, I can't give a donation because, you know, my car didn't work today. Whoever accepts that? For instance, you're on Sankirtan and someone goes, I can't give a donation because my car didn't work. Oh, no, no, don't worry about it, you know, you'll get another car. Just give a donation, you know. Or I can't because I have no money. Oh, just give whatever you have. So the same idea with the karmis, we don't think that there's really probably any impediment. We don't take any impediment seriously that someone tells us on, when we're trying to distribute a book to them. So similarly, we shouldn't take any impediment seriously to our going on book distribution or preaching. We should see it as our best opportunity. Of course, we may have other responsibilities, but that just means that we should do our other responsibilities and at the same time we should also preach. Yeah.
How about using the word preach? You know, we should also preach. So sometimes devotees feel that I may not have the interest to read or study or learn verses because book distribution isn't really preaching. You're just saying a few lines
to someone is short. So what would you say to that devotee? My whole life is dry out now, dry and back in the temple. I have no interest to read because I have no means, no venue for expressing what I've learned from the book.
Well, one should... That depends upon one's vision. In other words, what one sees as preaching will depend upon how one sees things. Prabhupada once wrote to a devotee, he said, if you understand three things, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you understand three things. One is that he's the enjoyer of everything, he's the controller of everything, and that he's the friend of everyone. That if you remember these three things when you're distributing books, that practically whatever you say is true. If he stops and he says, excuse me, sir, or I usually say, I'm from Chicago, because I'm from Brooklyn, but no one takes me seriously if I tell them that. I say, excuse me, sir, I'm from Chicago, where are you from? And I'm from, you know, Dallas. Oh, fantastic, so here. We're distributing some of these books today. I mean, it's all true. The fact that whatever they say, it's fantastic because they're getting an opportunity to get the book. And I usually say this depends. I may say many different things depending upon who the person is or how they're relating to the book. But generally, I try and make it as simple as possible. These are books about peace. Because, you know, you believe in peace, don't you? Well, great. Keep it with you. You know, we're not selling it. Just we're printing up more books to help out people. So we want to give a little donation to help out. You know, are you from around here? And they go, yeah. Wow, I met a lot of nice people from around here. You know, you find the people pretty friendly? And they go, yeah, I find the people pretty friendly. Well, great. Can you help out with a donation? In other words, I may only tell them one thing, that this book is about peace, but that's the whole essence of our philosophy. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvam mam shantim rishati. That if you take this book and you give a donation, then you'll actually get some peace. And that's the truth. But someone else may think that this is, you know, this is not actually preaching to the person, or you didn't really tell them what the book is about. You didn't tell them that, you know, you didn't spend 2 hours with them telling about Dharma Shete, Guri Shete, Samave. This is the meaning of two people in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Pandavas and the Yadavas, and they're determined to fight. There's one blind king, his name is Dhritarashtra. you understand, right? Keep it with you. No, someone else may see one thing as preaching, someone else may see something else as preaching, but that's an individual, according to one's individual realization. But I say that we should preach to people according to our understanding. But for some people it may mean 2 minutes, and some people it may mean 30 seconds, you know, to tell them something that I feel is meaningful. But actually what's meaningful is not exactly the words, but it's our realization behind what we're saying. I remember listening to Prabhupada sometimes give lectures, and just because he was so realized in what he was saying, just by his saying very simple things. Like I remember one time, the first time I heard Prabhupada explain what the three modes of nature were. He said that there are only two types of mentality. He said one is hankering for what we don't have. He said there are only two occupations in the material world: hankering for what we don't have and lamenting over what we've lost. So Prabhupada said it was so much realization that suddenly I realized that that's completely true. But if we don't have so much realization, then we may want to say a few things so we can hear the philosophy a little bit more. That will depend upon what our realization is. Yeah.
But that didn't answer the question of how am I going to get thinkers to read and study if I'm not...
You have to be
repeating.
Repeating?
Repeating what I read. It's like you and the people go around the world and you get lectures. So when you read, it comes out again in the form of a lecture. But if I'm a full-time book distributor or part-time reader, how can I use what I've read? What's my impetus to read?
We can use it. Express the philosophy according to what you understand on Sankirtan. I remember when we were first distributing books, that was our whole meditation. What can we say to people according to what we understand? You know, these books are about, you know, they teach you how to become free from anxiety by not worrying about the results of your work. You know, just like we're out here, Frank, right? I'm giving you this book and we're trying to get a donation from you. Sometimes you become detached, you know what I mean? Give a donation. You should become detached too. In other words, the whole idea, whatever realization we have, practically speaking, if you go out and tell people that with enough enthusiasm in a very positive way, even people can't understand what you're talking about. They go, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I just thought with the question that Rani was asking, you know, how we can develop preaching qualities, how we can make a preacher, but I think, my little realization is very often, of course, you know, we have, you know, we meet so many people and some, a lot of them say very little. But also as a preacher, he's expert in, you know, in time, place and circumstances, what to say, how to approach like a conditioned soul. And it's a very good training to, you know, to see where he's at and what to say. And it's, you know, very often during Sankirtan I have that, you know, I speak more than just, you know, just very often people ask questions, then, so what is this about? They say, this thing, this question, so what is this all about? You know, so then you have to say something which, like, you know, fits to the person. And this is your ability to pick up what kind of person this is. And it's like, that's a preacher, it's a conditioned soul. You meet a conditioned soul coming to the temple, maybe, and you want to somehow or other introduce him to Krishna consciousness. Like, so what do you say?
So one thing is that Krishna sums up our whole philosophy. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Yajgyatvana punamaham evam yansasi pandava yena bhutane sheshani jakshas yatnine tomai. Now when you've actually realized the truth, you'll understand that everyone's Krishna's eternal servant. So that's the essence, and that Krishna, he's the controller of everything, and everything is going on by his will. So whatever small realizations we may have from reading the books, or whatever we may have to want to express ourselves, that's insignificant compared to that realization, that everyone is Krishna's servant. So the more we work in that in mind, not worrying so much about what my tiny realization is, compared to that realization, that if people get Prabhupada's books, which has the whole realization in it, has unlimited realizations in it, and if I work in that way, in that consciousness, that this is Krishna's eternal servant, and Krishna wants him to have this book, the whole disciple succession want it, that if I can get that realization, then all that will include all my other realizations within it.
Yeah. So then, suppose I'm reading about King
Dhritarashtra,
as you mentioned. How will I repeat that? Would I do that in
the
association of devotees who are sitting
with
me or in temple?
Well, you
can tell us. How would we do it, Mother Janet? because sometimes devotees think that are so mechanical out there, so let me be even more mechanical by not leaving back to the temple, because I'm not supposed to quote what I've learned. But there's always at least one or two times during the day when I can take a few extra minutes with somebody, and repeat what I've just learned. Also, when you come to the temple, when you devotees have problems, when I have a problem, I need to preach to my own mind. There's millions of opportunities to actually repeat all the ecstatic details in Prabhupada's book. So there's no reason not to read Prabhupada's book. But as I said, even if I'm not repeating directly what I read, the realizations that I've gotten from you are coming out even in ordinary conversations. Plus, there's so many other opportunities to speak to devotees and non-devotees and guests of the temple. So there's no reason not to read Prabhupada's book as they do in Europe for an hour or two a day to give me more conviction when I'm out there.
You know, when we used to distribute books, I remember Krishna book at first. They used to knock on the people's door in Dallas. And they'd open it up and say, hi, you know, we're from the Hare Krishna movement. It was pretty obvious we were in Dhoti. And they go, yeah, here, keep this book with you. And they go, what is it about? And they say, well, just open it up. And we open it up to the same place. It said, when Krishna walks on the bank of the, when Krishna is seen on the bank of the Jamuna, he's seen nicely decorated with tilak on his forehead, and his garland with different types of forest flowers, and his body is smeared with the pulp of sandalwood and tulsi leaves. The bumblebees became mad after the treasure and sweet nectar of the atmosphere, and being pleased by the humming sound of the bees, Krishna played upon his flute, and the combined sounds became so sweet to hear that the aquatics, the ducks, the swans, and all of the birds became charmed. Instead of swimming and flying, they became stunned, and then they closed their eyes and entered into a trance and meditation and worship of Krishna. Here, keep it with you, just give a donation. They go, that's great. Anything else? Okay. Please say something.
Well, what's kind of related with being, I mean, you kind of answering in the course of your responding some question, but of being straightforward when you're, I mean, the expression you say that go with the sentiments of the people and, you know, say something that they can relate to, and I was going to say, and sometimes you, I mean, when you're reading books and not very experienced, you have that thing of trying to be straightforward and not to, you know, say, I mean, is that I feel it sometimes, for example, I give my example, I was feeling sometimes of not actually telling, you know, the people about the same thing that you say, tell me about the book, you know, something more about directly, you know, that this is about spirituality, you know, how to relate with God, not only, you know, not live it, you know, like, you know, kind of yoga or something material, instead of asking for giving something spiritual, you know.
Well, the thing is, as I said before, mostly we should say what makes us feel comfortable. Because we don't want to lie to people. It's not that we think that, you know, as our philosophy used to be, that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the controller, so I can do anything. He's just going to make all the arrangements in the whole universe just to cover whatever I do. No, we can't think like that. We have to be a little reasonable. Prabhupada said you can try and catch the big fish, but you shouldn't get wet. But at the same time, we should understand that in general, what I'm saying is more or less for my own benefit. More or less. In other words, the fact is that if I feel uncomfortable, then I'll never be able to sell any books because people will just pick up. They're not really relating to me as much as what I'm saying, as much as how I'm feeling about them and about what I'm doing. But if I'm feeling good about what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, then they'll also feel good about it. They'll feel better about it, at least, because I feel good about it. Therefore, the vibration, the consciousness that I'm emanating is good. And therefore, they'll think that this book is good, too, because they'll feel that I'm good. And if I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm lying to this person, you know, I'm not really being straightforward, you know, don't ask if it's a cult. We're not a cult. It's not an Indian book, no. Don't look at the book. You're finished. Oh, now he knows who we are. Are you from that movement? Oh. you caught me. I tried. No, actually, I find that's like in Europe a lot of times. Sometimes people ask, "Oh, you're from a cult." In Spanish, it's called, they have the word secta. So I say in Spanish, they say because secta also means six. So I said, we're more than six.
They're more than a cult.
So you just make it, you know, you don't take it so seriously because people have no idea what, if they say, oh, you're from a cult, right? You know, sure, we're from a, you know, real dangerous one. You just don't take it seriously, you know. You go, are you from the Hare Krishna movement? Fantastic! Yeah, sure, how did you know? You know, you just be completely positive and people get just completely blown away by the fact that you were so positive about it. Because we're just speculating and imagining that people don't like us, you know. You know, shaven heads aren't in style. But actually it's not true. That people have no conception. You know, they'll think, most people will think that we're Reverend Moon. You know, yeah, you're from those guys with the shaven, yeah, Reverend Moon, right? People don't know, have any idea. But if we're real what they do know is that they're relating to someone. And if we're really positive about what we're doing, then they'll become positive too. Because that's their practice. That's 99% of their experience with the Hare Krishna movement, is just meeting people in the airport or in the street or everywhere else. I mean, how else do they relate to us in a personal way? So if we're very positive and convinced, then they also become but if we're like, you're from a cult, oh God, I'm not brainwashed. Don't think, no, if we think like that, immediately think, wow, these guys are brainwashed, you know. You just say the word cult, they get uptight. No, we should be completely positive and convinced that we're the only sane people out there, and that other people also have the potential to be sane, but we just have to experience the positive consciousness of a devotee in devotional service. And by that experience, you know, then maybe they'll become encouraged also to become Krishna conscious too. But even if they don't do anything else throughout their whole life, but at least if they give a donation, take a book, then they've made some progress. But anything else they do in the material world is practically useless, at least in terms of anything permanent. So, just to sum it up, I don't think we have to be worried so much about being straight. We should worry enough about being straightforward just as much, in my opinion, as that we feel comfortable about what we're doing. Of course, we shouldn't lie to people because it's a waste of time. You know, we should say things in such a way as that people become encouraged to take the book. I mean, they're not hunting the Hare Krishna devotees on the street. It's not like we're like an outlaw bandit group that, you know, as soon as people hear it. I mean, some people become, if they ask, are you from that Hare Krishna movement? You go, yeah, that's right. We go, I'm not interested. I mean, probably if you would have said, no, we're not, they say, I'm not interested anyhow. Such people wouldn't be interested in anything we're doing. They're not interested in us as a person. Otherwise, why would they ask it in a very negative way? Are you from that terrible group? And anyhow, it's very rare to meet anyone who's like, just like the other day I was meeting in a devotee in Pilat, you know, right in the middle of the street down in Manhattan. And people were going, are you from a religious group? Yeah, sure. What's the name of your group anyhow? What's the Hare Krishna group? Oh, yeah, that's nice. I mean, people don't hardly know anything about it. We go, some people go, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I don't think we have to worry about being straightforward as much as we should worry about just being Krishna conscious. Anything else? Anything suitable? Could you please enlighten us in our book description? Something more, though. What do you see here?
Sometimes I'm... thinks, or some devotees think, that the temple, to go out from the temple on Sankirtan is a hindrance. So, actually, Prabhupada, he made these temples. There's one famous letter, and he's saying that his temples are not for eating and sleeping. They are made to train up our soldiers to become good soldiers for Lord Chaitanya's army, to become trained in book distribution. The books are the weapons, they're like bombs, and we have to go everywhere with these bombs and throw them down, drop them in all these big cities and in the lap of Maya, all these conditioned souls. I think they're enjoying the Maya, to that their material life becomes actually finished or destroyed. Or, yeah, that they become enlightened in Krishna consciousness. So this temple has to be organized in such a way that the Sankirtan devotees naturally feel themselves encouraged to go out in Sankirtan. Therefore it's a question of management. It's not that temple is just made for worshipping the deities. I told yesterday in the class, deity worship is actually secondary. It's in the other yuga, but they use the acharyas in the Hindu deity worship that we actually become inspired and purified about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become inspired to go out. See us as a servant of Krishna. Krishna is like the king and we are like the servants. So therefore Sankirtan devotee has actually this mentality that he's a servant isn't it in the temple, or he's in his Sankirtan, or in a Sankirtan flat, wherever he is, he understands. He's not in material world, he's in the temple. The temple is maybe a big temple or a smaller temple like the Sankirtan car, or even he sleeps in a hotel, that's also a temple, because they put the pictures there. They maybe sing even the samsara songs. And so in this way the place becomes a temple. Actually wherever the devotees are, wherever Krishna is worshipped by the devotees, it's a temple. Therefore the devotees become naturally inspired by, in such an environment, temple atmosphere, that one becomes encouraged, first of all, and becomes purified, and then one wants to bring this Krishna consciousness outside. So one should never think himself that it's an entanglement to live in the temple. It's only a question of consciousness, of our consciousness, when we are not fixed in Sankirtan, in our desires, or our determination is not really fixed. And there may be many other inclinations or motivations in Krishna consciousness for many different services. Then maybe temple can become a hindrance. But it's not the temple is the hindrance, it's our consciousness. So therefore, we have to learn how to become fixed. The Sankirtan devotee, his whole life is actually a meditation. He meditates always about the instruction of his spiritual master. Always. Like Prabhupada says, the disciple has to keep the instruction of the spiritual master always on his head. And worships his instruction. Never forget it. Always remember the instruction, never forget it. Like we have always to remember Krishna, never forget it. Same way we have always to remember the instruction of the spiritual master and never forget it. For one moment. That's actually the life and soul. So even therefore when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayantamam, 24 hours, constantly one should meditate about him and chant his glories. So how is it possible? 24 hours? And 24 hours, I cannot go and chant 24 hours. I cannot go out and distribute 24 hours books. So how to understand that? That means I have to be absorbed 24 hours in the Sankirtan mission. So it begins already in the morning when we rise. The Sankirtan devotee, he makes his prayers to the spiritual master, to Lord Chaitanya, to Radha and Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Pays obeisances after he wakes up in his sleeping bag, pays obeisances. Then he meditates already. Oh, again, very nice. Again, Krishna gives me such a nice day that I can serve him in the Sankirtan mission, that I can go out today and distribute his books. So that's the first meditation already in the morning. Already when we open the eyes and pay obeisances, we should already think, now today I go out and books again. Oh, how nice. I'm very eager to come out, to go out. So then also when he's under the shower, then he meditates already, about the Hare Krishna chant, either chants Hare Krishna mantra, or he already meditates where he's going, he's already maybe in the airport or in the parking lot where he's distributing. And so already under the shower, he doesn't think, oh, now it's on the bodily platform. Now hot or too cold. His absorption is already in the shower, also in Sankirtan. And then when he goes to Mangalarti, then he sees the deities, takes the ashan and chants, sings the prayers to the Shveta Master, to Lord Chaitanya, and to the deities, Radha and Krishna. And there he's also absorbed already. He prays very intensively to Krishna and to his spiritual master, please let me go to Sankirtan that I can distribute some books to spread your glorious mission and the glorious name of Krishna, that I can distribute as many as possible. And then also deity greeting, there's even more prayers and there's more possibility to pray. But in Europe we have even longer time for the Govindam Adipurusham. It actually goes a little longer than here. Here actually it's only very short, 1 or 2 minutes and it's already finished.
Well, actually, this is a very important time to pray to the deities. Then in the daytime, who goes to the deities and prays? So this morning time, it's the best time to pray to the deities. Because actually the deities, they are the lords. They are the controller of the country. And they are Sankirtan deities. Actually, every temple has the Sankirtan deities, like Gunitai or even Radha and Krishna. They're very merciful, because they're always thinking about how these conditioned souls, who are actually all eternal servants of Radha and Krishna, how they actually can come back to me, to my eternal abode. So therefore the sincere servants, they try to make arrangements that the Lord becomes satisfied. So therefore he prays to him, please let me become an instrument for your desire, that I can fulfill your desire, and to be the master's desire. So therefore he prays very intensively. Actually, prayers is very, very important for Sankirtan devotee, for any devotee. Sometimes you forget. You think, oh, Hare Krishna mantra is a prayer. Yeah, that's all right. That's the most important prayer, hearing or chanting about Krishna. But we should also pray to, according to our realization, or to, that we can become empowered, or that we can go on with our service. We have to pray to Krishna. And we can also take prayers from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like we should pray every morning, we should chant the Shikshastaka prayers of Lord Chaitanya. There are some other very nice prayers. Ukam Karoti Vachala. Namo Mahapadanaya Krishna Prayavadayate. You should not just chant this in the, when you offer the food. You can also chant it when you go out or in our meditation. Chant it. So in this way, there are many prayers given, even in the scriptures, they have the most inspiring prayers. What kind of mood we have to have. And also the chanting, in the japa time, you should be very attentively hearing not only the half mantra, the whole mantra we have to chant. Sometimes Sankirtan devotees, they become so in the fire of chanting that sometimes it smokes even out of the feedback. Because the turn around these beats, you know, they're very Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama, they always turn around here, you know. Sometimes it smokes from the friction of the beats, you know. Comes maybe some smoke out of it. Anyway, it shows already how the Sankirtan devotee is very much absorbed. He chants before Prabhupada, or he chants before the deities. Somehow or other, one has to be very attentively chanting. And chant all the rounds, and it's possible, in the morning before one goes out. So then we become so much purified by this morning program. So the morning program we have everywhere, we have to do it. In the temple here, or outside. So then we have already this mentality in the morning, and even in the prasadam, you know, I accept the prasadam, so I know I should not eat too much, not too less, that I can go the whole day in Sankirtan, that I don't have any disturbance. Overeating, and that I have to rest for 4 hours just to digest, or to, because I'm so much tired from eating, that I have to take a rest again after eating. And then we read, and then after reading we have to take again a rest, and then again we have to read, and then maybe in 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock we come out, and then we distribute 4 or 5 hours. No, actually, when one has this mentality or this meditation, then one becomes so much fired up that when one comes to the Sankirtan spot, then one immediately you can go out and distribute. Then he takes a lunch time. He can read some half an hour or 1 hour of Prabhupada's books. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the best. And meets the devotees, speak maybe a little about the realization he had from the day, from the morning, and then again, the whole afternoon he goes out. Actually, the early time, I think it's very important that one goes out even early in the morning,
And when the people are, naturally every country is time, place and circumstances. Some places only afternoon it starts really from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Some places it's more in the morning time, not so much in the afternoon, or more in the evening time. And someone has to find out which time is the best time to approach the people, where the most people are around. But anyway, the most important thing is always on fire, and this is to
stir up the fire.
To stir up the fire, yeah. That we actually wanted to, that we actually have to like to distribute these books. That actually book distribution becomes our nature. There's nothing else in the life of a Sankirtan devotee. Although there's deity worship and temple life, and all the devotees are surrounding him, who have different services, but he doesn't become, deterred from his determination to go out. He doesn't think, so now I should suddenly become next day the puchari, or I should become a cook. Only because such devotees are amongst him, because everybody has his service, everybody has his duty. Actually, the devotees should become inspired when he sees so many devotees are engaged in the mission of the Supreme Lord, in the temple and outside of the temple. There are different kinds of activities everybody has to do. The temple has also to be maintained. And when the temple is organized in such a way that the Sankirtan is in focus, like here, it's very nice. Rambhadra, he always reads verse from Prabhupada's letters about book distribution. And the books are here, it's a lager here, it's a storehouse, where one can have the books, take out the books. But it has to be organized in such a way that everybody will receive the books, that there are maybe cars or small cars where you can put the books in it. And one comes in the morning, the Sankirtan leader has to organize that everybody receives the book, not that everybody has to run around the temple and look for one key. Already when you go run two, three times up and down the stair to find out the key, then you're already tired, you have to take a rest. So maybe I have to take a rest now, and anyway, it's still... I don't want that I distribute today, but become a little on the false ego. Why should go out today? Because they don't arrange for me, they don't prepare the books for me. And so this then becomes very much mental. So it has to be organized. Naturally, not everybody can have a key. We have seen that in Europe, that every quarter of the year, we have to make inventory. And then they're missing so many books. So many books are missing, and there's no Lakshmi for the DDT for it. And so the temple has to pay. And then every month, or every quarter or in a year, it makes a lot of money. $10,000, $20,000 books, they are not there in the larder, in the storehouse. And the money is also not here. And so the temple has to send out collectors, somebody has to collect it, or some marathon has to be made just to pay the DDT back. The books were never distributed. And so then this year we started a more strong check-up with the books. Actually the books, we have to take very much care on the books, because the books are like deities. So they should not just lie everywhere in every room around, and also in the Sankirtan van they shouldn't put in a nice place. And in the larder, in the storehouse, they should be kept very nicely and under control. Some Sankirtan man or some devotee from the temple has to be in charge for the book room. Have to keep it clean, that all the books are already there. Not the Sankirtan devotees when they need books, that there are no books around, or that only few books or one or two books are here, and some books are missing. So you have to keep track which books are here, and that the books are already for everybody ready, and they have to know what time I have to come. And then he gives the books out, and he keeps exactly a track, how many books are going out, how many books coming back. Otherwise, when you don't do that, then in the end of the year, you have a big debt to the DVT without distributing the books. So that's very important to take care on that, that the books are controlled to going out and coming back. Otherwise it becomes very impersonal. You're actually dealing very impersonal with this book sometimes. He thinks, yeah, anyway, the books are here and somehow they have to go out and everybody can go to the book club. And anyway, we are happy that somebody even comes to the book club and that goes out. But in the end, you know, then you have a lot of trouble and a lot of problems, especially for the temple president who has to pay the bills. He got a lot of problems then. So that has to be organized in a very nice way. And then the Sankirtan devotees, and they have to know when what time they have to go and get the books. And when this determination is here, an organization is here, in this way, then everything goes very nicely and doesn't waste his energy and his enthusiasm to go out. Everybody should know when he should go to be a schedule, you know, when everybody can get his books. You don't think, you know, they have to come to me. No, they have to go to them. They have to go to the lager. You know? And then there's the man who gets it out. Not that everybody goes in and he takes whatever he likes. In the impersonal way and brings back what he likes, or he maybe spaces it out somewhere else. So this way so many books going lost. So yeah, that's a very important point I want to say. That one has to take care for these books. And the temple is for that, is here for that. Prabhupada wanted these temples as basements for book distributors. So the book distributor can go out and have a shelter. Everybody needs shelter. This body is no shelter. Yesterday I spoke with Puru Rahul. He had this heart problem. And he told me, you know, I thought my whole life I had shelter in this body, but finally I realized there's no shelter. Since it's an illusion that this body gives us shelter, or in the material world there's any shelter. There's no shelter. The only shelter is Krishna's lotus feet. And the association of devotees in the temple, and Krishna's abode. It's actually Krishna's abode here in this material world. It's like an embassy. The embassy of Goloka Vrindavan is a temple. The Sankirtan vans, they're like trabans, or Sankirtan flats we have maybe outside, they're like trabans of the temple. They're the trabans? Trabantins?
Yeah, I know.
Like expansions, you know, expansions. They're all over the city, the Sankirtan vans, they go out. It's like a traban, like an expansion of the temple. Or the smaller Sankirtan flats, or wherever we are. We had our base, that's it's an expansion of the temple. So we should never think ourselves separate from the temple. Therefore, we should always come together, the Sankirtan devotees, in the weekend, and have a big Sankirtan festival. Saturday, Sunday. And the book distributor, when it is possible, he should give the lecture at Sunday. And it's fire. Just actually that day when the Sankirtan come back, should just be Sankirtan Katha. And should be nice prasadam, nice ecstatic kirtans with all the Sankirtan devotees in the temple. And so in this way it's always a Sankirtan consciousness. Actually the temple has to be created and managed in such a way that it's always Sankirtan consciousness. And everybody who knows, he knows here in the temple there's only one thing to do. We have to go out and distribute books and preach. Even the other devotees who are in the temple who don't go out, they know I'm a servant of the Sankirtan devotees. I just help them that they can more easily can go out, that they don't have to make much, that they don't have a lot of problem or time, lose a lot of time for anything else. Maybe even somebody is ready to wash some clothes, or he takes care that the prasadam is ready for the Sankirtan devotees. And so in this way the Sankirtan devotees become very much relieved and very much inspired also to go out. Naturally, the Sankirtan devotees should not become puffed up and thinking, oh, they are all my servants, and I can engage them according to my inclination or desire. No. You should be thankful. There should be a relationship here. That's the Sankirtan front soldiers And the one who are in the back, but there are also Sankirtan devotees in the sense because they support the Sankirtan. So that's the two things. Either we go directly taking part in the Sankirtan or we support Sankirtan. And especially also the supporters of Sankirtan, they can also go once in a week, they can go out and distribute the books. At least a few hours. Everybody has some time, even to go out for 2-3 hours, or even for 1 hour. And everybody has to get somehow the taste to go to the front and speak with these people. Especially sometimes when things, oh, the temple is very nice, you know, there's not much anxiety, no problems here, there's no challenge here. And sometimes they forget the reality outside. So therefore we should also go out and see the reality that we can develop the mercy or some compassion for the conditioned souls that they're actually suffering here in this New York hell. Actually New York, all these big cities are like a hell because they all work in a factory whole day or in an office. I thought about in his books he writes, you know, factory is another name for hell, right? So all these big cities, you know, they're hell. But the Sankirtan devotee goes, he takes up the challenge to help these conditioned souls in these hellish factories, in these hellish cities, to get the relief, get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada's books. And then other thing I also want to mention is, but we should also not be fruitive and only fix on one book, one particular book we like to distribute, maybe. Like certain devotees saying, I only like Bhagavad Gita, because when I distribute Bhagavad Gita, it gives me the most points. It's a Mahabig book. And all other books, no, I'm not interested in it. Maybe one small book I take with me, in case somebody doesn't take Mahabig. No, we should actually try to take all kinds of books with us. Then we meet all kinds of people. Huh? Maybe somebody is not ready to get the Bhagavad Gita, so we give him another book. We have to learn. We have to understand with whom we are actually speaking, how many books he can take, which one he actually can...
Present.
Yeah. No, which of these books he can actually digest or somehow becomes inspired to read. Maybe he doesn't want the Gita, maybe he likes one of these new books like... Second chance, journey of self-discovery. So then we should not say, no, because of it, in the back consciousness, I want to have the point, you have to take this book. No. Then we should give this book, like Second Chance or something like that. There's so many nice books now here in America, right? So many beautiful books, big books, Mahabig books, small books. So we should have all these different kinds of books with us. So in case we meet also somebody, he takes maybe all of them. Or he takes 2 or 3 or 1, or maybe only a small book. Somehow or other, these books have to circulate. You should not meditate so much about the points. You should not be point collectors. You want to have so and so many points, you know, at the end of the year. And so much Lakshmi. Some devotees, one sees sometimes, they're completely... On this platform, I only go out, you know, because I want to have these points and I want to have so and so much Lakshmi. There's some these forces or these motivations here. But then one actually becomes very fruitive and very much frustrated sometimes when it doesn't work. Therefore, there's sometimes in this up and down, sometimes even I desire very much and there's nothing going out. Sometimes I'm not at all motivated or many books going out. So there's always these different sides and these ups and downs. So the motivation has to be right. Actually, we want to give out the mercy. Every book of Prabhupada is able to make a devotee. Any book. It's no book that's less or better or less. Every book is nectar. So we should pass out as many books as possible. Or flow the whole country or a whole city, you know, with these books. And now we get so many nice new books. The lager house, how we say, the storehouse becomes filled up.
So we should try to end it. Like in Europe, we have always this competition between the BBT and the book distributor. The BBT is always eager to fill up the house, the storehouse, and the devotees, they always want to empty it. They're not happy just to see it full. They want to empty it out and distribute it, that it becomes filled up again. Not that we can take rest. And Prabhupada also said, I don't know in which place it was, it tends to fill up the temple with the books. You know in which temple it was? Yeah. Prabhupada said, we should because nobody wanted to go out, fill up the books, the temple with books. So in this way the devotees have to become inspired to distribute them, that they can take rest in it.
Not that they've written that high case for it.
I think it was somewhere in America.
And get all the money for the books.
And that's fill very nice.
Fill up the temple again.
Yeah. Very nice statement. To fill up, and try to empty it, then it becomes filled up again. So we should become very happy and very eager, to empty. We should not let it there for one year or 2 years, thinking, we have enough books, we can take it easy. No, we should try to empty it out as fast as possible. I remember once when we had this competition, marathon, they emptied the larder. Storehouse, and then I called Hare Krishna Raj in the phone. Then he almost fainted. He was so in ecstasy. Unbelievable, how is it possible that you could empty the whole storehouse? And he said, he actually defeated me. And then he was printing immediately so many books, 30,000 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam in German. 30,000 sets, it means about 360,000 books he was printing. And then he said, from now on, I will always take care of you, never can defeat me anymore. I cannot tolerate. So since then, it's not possible to feed him anymore. The storehouse is always full, more and more books coming in. And although the mysterium is the books coming, more and more books becoming printed, the books going more and more out. Because the more books we distribute, the more actually the BBT can print. And it becomes always better. The quality becomes better. And the price, the Lakshmi, the BBT price becomes cheaper because they can print more books, more quantity. So that's actually this competition. That's not fruitive. It's not fruitive because it's an exchange. It's a competition, exchangeable competition to distribute more and more books, to get actually out his mercy, to help the conditioned souls. But they receive these books. So therefore, we're going not out for our own competition or for our own whimsical motivations. No, we go out, we should see the whole, We should see the whole, that how to actually maintain the BBT, how to satisfy Prabhupada and Krishna. Because the BBT is Prabhupada's heart, Lakshmi is the blood. Therefore, whatever we give to the BBT, Prabhupada becomes very much satisfied. The Mayapur can become built, there's nice donations can be given to the Mayapur project. The temples become maintained, they can even increase. There's no financial problem for the temple. And everybody takes part in this Sankirtan mission. I've seen this in Yugoslavia, although it goes economically, everything goes completely down. They have war, civil war. And every second month they have a lot of inflation, like 30%. Last week they had 30% again. One night of another, devotees didn't even know. So they lost 30% overnight. Money, they didn't change it in marks. So therefore they had always to change the money in marks. And otherwise the value.
Change rate.
Yeah, they lose so much money. But despite of the country situation, as goes more and more worse, financially they stay more better than ever before.
They have a nice big temple now, more devotees join, many Sankirtankars. Till last year they had no Sankirtankars, no Sankirtan lands. They went always with buses, with public bus, and trains. They spent staying in a flat or in a Sankirtan flat, or renting for 1 month maybe a flat. And then they went with the train there and they put the books there, or they sent the books with the bus or with the train to these places. And from this way they distributed all time. They were even sleeping sometimes. The trains were full with so many people that they had to sleep outside in the corridor in the sleeping bag, even before the toilet, or sometimes on the roof over, you know, there are these couchette carts where the people are sleeping. And there was no place, so they were sleeping up. There was one place, you know, where they put the baggages. And they were lying up there in the baggage department, taking just out of sleeping bag, you know, climb up there to the baggage department and lie somehow there. And there's heavy trains, you know, always boom, 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 boom. It goes up and down, stops all 5 minutes, and it's horrible. Sometimes the 12 hours there in the train. It's a horrible situation. Actually, nowadays, as soon a temple becomes more and more developed, it become more and more weak. And become dependent, like Maharaj explained, you know, when there's no car, there's no... not the right prasadam, not the right clothes, not the right mood created here, and the right environment, and immediately we're flipping out, and we think, I don't go out, I'm not inspired, because all these things are not here, all these facilities are not here. So, but all these devotees in Yugoslavia, for 6-7 years now, they went on, they were distributing. Every day. So sometimes they stayed out for 10 days, they came out every 10 days, they came back to the temple because they have to drive so much far distances and so long. But they took upon them so much tapasya. And Krishna, he became satisfied, Lord Chaitanya became satisfied. Now they get even Sankirtan cars, and the Sankirtan increased more and more. So many books become printed, they have about 20 different books from Sankirtan. Chaitanya Charitamrita even comes out now. That's the whole Adi Lila already in Yugoslav language. The whole Bhagavatam said, naturally. The new Bhagavad Gita, very nice Bhagavad Gita came out. And although people have practically no money, they sell more books than ever before. Increasing, well, they practically defeat Switzerland now, Yugoslavia. It's all over Switzerland, Russia, Yugoslavia, they're very much coming up, East Germany. But the devotees, it's not that it's just a country. It's not just a country. The devotees are really inspired, they're really determined, they take upon themselves the tapasya to go out. Because they want to satisfy the spiritual master. They see only that, the satisfaction of the spiritual master, they don't see the great tapasya. Therefore, this tapasya becomes very small. It becomes actually no tapasya. It becomes nectar, like it's described in the Bhagavad Gita, Sasukam Kartam Adiyam. Krishna consciousness or the Sankirtan movement, the spread of Sankirtan movement is not something, very hard work, you know, very troublesome, hard tapasya. No, it's actually easily and very enjoyable to perform. Joyful and very blissful. But one has to have the right mentality. You want to satisfy spiritual master. Like Prabhupada said, I don't know Krishna, but I know my spiritual master. So our connection has to be with the spiritual master. We have to be linked up with the desire of the spiritual master, with the disciplic succession. And we can see in these countries where the devotees are mostly very much absorbed in the spiritual master, his mission and instruction. And they really have this attitude, this inclination to actually serve the spiritual master through Sankirtan, then they become empowered. And that's actually the secret, how one becomes empowered, by serving the spiritual master his mission. Sometimes one forgets that. I think I go out for me, you know, because the temple president, he pushes me. So many things maybe are here. Mental concoctions. I have to go out. No. It's Prabhupada said, it's volunteer service.
Sankirtan is a volunteer service. It's actually a big honor for us that we can go out, that actually Shweta Master and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give us this nice mission, this nice opportunity to serve the mission, serve the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such a nice opportunity. And when we actually take this unique opportunity and surrender to it, everybody can become empowered. And sometimes propaganda, only Prabhupada, he was empowered. He was empowered to spread Sankirtan movement, or maybe some very rare souls to become empowered, but I'm not, I'm just ordinary. No, everybody can become empowered, but we have to take up the move, the process. And then the process, and we actually follow this process and perform the Sankirtan in the right mood, we can go internally. And then even when we become number one, even when we have many book points and good results and much Lakshmi is coming, a lot of Lakshmi is coming, we don't become attached to it. We give everything to Krishna. Otherwise one is Kripana. Somebody who enjoys the results is Kripana, miser, Bhagavad Gita described. So we should not be miser, we should be Brahmana. Therefore actually Sankirtan is the greatest Brahminical service. We have to educate the people, we have to teach the people how to become devotees of Krishna. It's maybe a question? Point?
Thank you. I think that we should feel as far as like trying to go after points and watching. And I admit it, that's part of my motivation. I try to do a lot of book points and collect a lot of luck. It helps motivate me. And my spiritual master says your success will be determined how many books you distribute or how many devotees you make. I try not to, along with Sankirtan is a self-purifying internal struggle to do the right thing in order to get reciprocation. So, it could be argued that someone does want to go after book points and watch me because in the process of going after those goals, he finds that he has to surrender more and depend on Krishna for that reciprocation. And he does try to understand that he's not the doer. Along with going after goals, there has to be the realization, because if there isn't a pure motive, Krishna's not going to reciprocate ultimately. Unless you're trying to understand that you're just a puppet. But I only take out hard gitas, a couple soft gitas, Srila Prabhupada sauce, and a few higher tables. I'm just doing a Prabhupada sauce because there are points there. I don't have a lot of nothing to do with those 0.15. Okay. I can't even nail them.
That's no problem. No. The main thing is...
Because I see all the points Europe's got, we've been in your dust for how long? It's embarrassing.
Yeah, we should have more devotees like you. Then America would be called number one.
I can't imagine, your top book distributors not going after points. How do they get so many?
That's the problem one sometimes has. One thinks, only because one is into the points, somebody can make the points. Like Hari Namananda, you don't know him personally. I know him. No. He's so detached. When you ask him, how many books you want to do today, and then says, you know, I'm happy when I distribute one book today. I just try to do so many as possible.
And that's part of doing a lot of poems.
Yeah.
You catch what Krishna is supposed
to. Because such devotees know that they can increase year for year. The result, you have to be detached. So long you are fruitive, if you can do it to a certain degree, you know. But then you have always these ups and downs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means it's
maybe that's my problem.
Therefore we are around to, not only your problem, it's many problems. It's also my problem, it's also others' problem. Yeah. We have this fruitive mentality. But I don't attack you or somebody else. We want to help that we can attain the pure platform. No? That we become purified, that we can go on eternally with Sankirtan, that we don't have these ups and downs. I think Maharaj explained this once in Vrindavan, it's because of Anishna, right? Of not faith, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That one goes these ups and downs.
Alternating thick and thin.
Yeah.
Ganatarala.
Yeah, that means one has not really faith in the process of Adhaushada, Bhajana Kriya, Anata Nivriti, Sadhu Sangha. This process given by Rupa Goswami. So when we just follow this process and have faith in this process, and that means Adhaushada, faith, is the first thing, a little faith, and then Sadhu Sangha. And then amongst other with the devotees, association of devotees, you follow, with them together we follow the instruction of the spiritual master. Yeah. And then with this thing, then you can become really, fixed. Yeah. And that because through this you can make advancement, through this association of guru and sadhus, then you become free from your attachments, from all the anathas. Everybody has anathas, nobody is fully pure. So we have to admit everybody has anathas. But these anathas, we should not cultivate them. We have to get rid of them.